In Psalm 119 this morning, Psalm 119. I wrote this lesson, the entire lesson, driving home from Sioux City, where were we yesterday? Brookings, where is that? South Dakota. This is an adventure this morning. We're gonna see what God has for us all together. Yeah, we're ready, but just need to hear from God today. Need to hear from God. Let's start in verse 1, and we'll read to verse 11. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and seek Him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. I love that verse. I mean, it doesn't mean that you'll never sin again, but it does mean that when you're walking in the ways of the Lord, you're not going to want to sin, and He's going to protect you from those sins. Praise God for that. I hate sin, don't you? I hate it whenever my attitude's bad. I hate it whenever I'm angry with my kids and I really shouldn't be, just because I'm moody. Like, will you get moody? I do. Maybe you get moody too, I don't know. But I'm tired, or I'm having a rough day, and the people that I love the most in the world, my family, I just get on to them, and I shouldn't. How does God help us to keep from those kinds of sins creeping into our life? Well, verse number 3, look at it again. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His way. We walk with the Lord. We walk in His way. Verse 4, Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed by statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect to all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart, and I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I like verse 7, I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart. There's nothing like praising God when your heart's right with God. I mean, that's when praise is good. You know, we sing those hymns. They're just sort of like drudgery and just filling the time. And maybe we're half-heartedly singing when our hearts aren't right. You understand? We've been there, right? Have you been singing but your mind is somewhere else? Have you been singing but you're only doing it half-hearted because your heart isn't in it? Well, when your heart is in it, look at verse 7, I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. He gives us a song and our hearts are in it. Praise the Lord for His word. Verse 8, I will keep Thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee, O let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. And we could just go on and on, because the entire chapter is an encouragement, an inspiration of the Word of God. Well, it's an inspiring message to encourage us the importance of the Word of God. The entire Psalm 119 was written just to say, whoa, we have heard from God. Now, isn't that neat? The entire Psalm 119, is every verse talks about the Word of God. And it's the psalmist saying, can you believe it? The God of the universe, the Creator of mankind, the Creator of all that is, He has spoken to us. And it's just so amazing and so incredible. It's just one verse after another verse, just wondering. Wondering meaning like in amazement and awe that God has talked to us. Now, if God of the universe, the Creator of all that is, and the One who created us and knows not only all about us on the inside and out, but also the future and what's best for us, Shouldn't we listen to Him? Shouldn't we listen to what He has to say to us? Shouldn't we want to change to be aligned with what He says? And that's the passion that is being communicated in these great verses. So let's pray. And we're going to talk about our walk with God this morning. We're going to talk about our walk with God. So let's pray. Father, I pray Your blessings. Guide us in Your path. Help us to trust Your work in us. Thank You for Your word. God, we can't comprehend the majesty and magnificence and the beauty of this, Your holy word. But we feel it in our hearts when our hearts are soft enough to receive it. We're not hard and stiff and deflecting the word, but receiving it. I pray today that You'd break our hearts, that we might that much more receive and love Your word. Help us to see the importance of it. Help us to change our lives so that we might align ourselves with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, as I mentioned, we're going to talk about our walk with God today. And I would guess that all of us are here because we want to have a close walk with God. I mean, I could have you raise your hand, but my hope is that all of us would raise our hands. The only people who wouldn't raise your hand are the ones who aren't listening. And then you're like, why is everybody raising your hand? And then you just raise it anyway. You don't even know what I ask. Amen. So God wants us to have a walk with Him. We should want to have a walk with God. Remember in Genesis? Why did God create us, by the way? Why are we here? You ever wonder that? You ever in life think, man, why did God do this? Well, first of all, God didn't do maybe what you see as far as the evil and sin and transgression and just awful things that are in the world. It's not like God designed it that it would be that way. Man, He did give man a choice. He gave us a choice, which is a critical part of the why we exist. And because Adam and Eve in the garden chose, instead of relationship, walking with God, like I said, we're going to talk about today, they chose sin, transgression, and were cast out of the garden, and sin came into the world, and it was by choice. And a critical part of the reason why we can have a walk with God is because God has given us volition, a choice, a will, the ability to choose to walk with Him. And also meaning the ability to choose not to walk with Him. And so God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, and He had that closeness there. The Bible tells us that Noah walked with God. The Bible says in Micah 6:8, He hath shown thee, O man. You know this, it's a song. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? You want to know what the Lord requires of you? You ready, Brantley? It's like, what did I do? You ready to know what the Lord requires? But to do justly, to love mercy. What's the last one? To walk humbly with thy God. So that last one, the third of the three, He said, to walk humbly with thy God. Now those are two key words in understanding how to have a walk with God. And we're going to see it here, but let's just start off with it, okay? Walking with God requires, absolutely necessary, you can't have a walk with God without it. Humility. To walk humbly with thy God, you have to have humility. Do you know why that is? Because you can't walk with God and do it your way. You can't, I'm walking with God, but I'm doing it my way. Well, you're not walking with God. You're walking with you. You're arm in arm with yourself, me, myself, and I, and God's not with you. Because it's God's way, or you're not walking with Him. He directs us. You know, He leads us. And if we're not following Him, that means He's going one way and we're going another way. So walking with God. According to our verses, we can have a walk with God, and I'm thankful for that. We do need to have humility. And if you don't have a walk with God, then you're not where God wants you to be. You say, well, my walk with God isn't where it needs to be. Then you're not where you need to be. You're not where God wants you to be. You're not where you should be. And so our walk with God is a constant daily thing that needs to be a part of our daily lives, and so it needs to be addressed. Routinely. To grow, we need to have a walk with God. To grow, we need to learn to have a daily time with Him. It's an essential part of our growth as Christians. It's a key part of our development. at the pastor's conference this weekend, the preacher, the main preacher, there were three different preachers, but the main one who preached three times, he said, he's a professor at Heartland Bible College, and in fact, he's the chair of the Bible department, so he's kind of one of the leaders there. He said this in one of his sermons. He said, you know, of all of the things that you learn in Bible college, how to be a pastor, the one most important thing that I needed to learn as a pastor is to have a regular walk with God. And that is so true. We need to have a walk with God, and it needs to be the primary thing. It needs to be the most important thing in our life. Walking with God is to align yourself with the Word of God. There's no other way about that. You say, well, I'm going to walk with God, but I'm not going to do it God's way, meaning the Bible way. Then there's no walk with God without aligning yourself with the Bible. So look at verse 1 of Psalm 119, Brother Eric. That's where we are, Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, and then he said this, who walk in the law of the Lord. So walking in the law of the Lord, it's a prerequisite to having a walk with God. We have to walk in His way. We have to walk in His law, or in His the truth that He is directing us to. Now, there's another great verse that has been a big part of my life, and that is, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. So God directs us whenever we align ourselves with His Word. That's how He directs us, by aligning ourselves with the Word of God. At the pastor's conference, also the pastor said, one of the pastors said this. He was talking about people who are making decisions, but they're not aligning themselves with the Word of God. And that's a common tendency that people have today, isn't it? And if we're honest, maybe sometimes we tend to want to make decisions before we see what God says about it. Now, if you're going to have a walk with God, personally, individually, each one of us need to do this. Then we don't make decisions, big or little. It doesn't matter if it's a big decision or a little one. What does the Bible say? What does God say? And sometimes it's obvious, you know, sometimes it's not so obvious. But we don't just do things. We don't just follow our heart, and that's what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then he said, don't lean in your own understanding. Don't follow your own heart. I mean, how do we do that? Align yourself with the Word of God. Well, I don't know what the Word of God says. Well, that doesn't give you a pass. Right. We're not walking with God just because we don't know what the Bible says, and therefore God says, well, you don't know what the Bible says, so just do it your way and I'll walk with you. No. We have to learn what the Bible says. You have to study. By the way, that's one reason God gave us a pastor. Amen. Like, I don't know what the Bible says. Call your pastor. It's not wise. It is not wise, friends, to call a meeting with the pastor to tell him a decision that you've already made. And pastor, we're going to do, well, okay, so are you asking my counsel or are you telling me what you're doing? Well, I'm just telling you what we're doing. Okay. God bless you. What am I supposed to say? You've already decided. Do you want to know what the Bible says? Is that why we're talking? Or did you already decide? The wise thing to do is to go with what God says. And you're like, well, I don't know what God says. Well, let's get counsel then. There's safety in a multitude of counsel. It's not just any counsel, though. We're not talking to the world and then talking to God and then comparing which one we like better. No, we get counsel from God. From His Word. You can do that on your own. You can read your Bible. You can see what God says. We're like, well, I don't know. And then talk to somebody who knows the Bible. And I'm not just talking about somebody out there. Talk to your pastor. Talk to Brother Chad. Brother Tim. Brother Eric knows the Bible really good. Really good. Amen? We've been at it for a while, haven't we? And I'm not saying that set up... We're going to pray about both of us doing this, okay? By the way, that means you're human, because I'm like that too. And if you're expecting me to be perfect, then you and I, Brother Eric, other brother, Eric number two, he and I were talking about this just before church, that we follow the Word of God. It's what's unchangeable. We are changeable. We fall. We falter. We get off track. We go here. We go there. The Bible doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. And so even me, I mean, I'm brought back. God did that this weekend at the pastor's conference there in Brookings, wherever I was, you know, earlier I was having trouble remembering, South Dakota, and the pastors that we were with, the sermons that we heard, it was like, you know, you have those times, and I know you know this, most of us can relate to this. You're like, how did he know? Well, obviously he didn't, but God knew. Mercy, I needed this. God, you knew that I needed. I cannot believe that he said that. He has no idea what we're going through right now. I cannot believe he said that. Well, God knew. And that was for us. That is the word of God. It transcends human beings. We got to get in it. We got to get counsel from it. We got to be guided by it. You say, I don't know what it says, though. Then get with somebody who does. And you can both be touched by it again.
Right.
How many times have I had a Bible study with Brother Josh, and I are doing Bible studies routinely, and we're sitting together. I'm like, hey, man, I needed this today. Yeah, we need it. So where do we go? What do we do? How do we handle this? What do we say? Well, what does God say? Always ask that. What does the Bible say? You know, let's not get away from it. And even if you're not literally opening the Bible and reading a verse before you make a decision, at least let the principles that you already know work in you before you make decisions, you know? So we have to learn how to have this, but to learn how to have a walk with God following the Scriptures, which, by the way, walking with God, you align yourself with the Scriptures. And can I say that it's a personal thing too? I know that I'm kind of flighty here, but help, just follow, and maybe God will help bring it all together for us today. That maybe you know the Bible, and maybe you're trying to do what God says from the Bible, but you still don't feel like you have a walk with God. That can happen, can't it? Well, we're where we need to be, we're doing what we should be doing, but I still feel like we don't have a walk with God. And that can happen. Why? Because walking with God is personal. God is not a machine. He's not a robot. He is a person. He has feelings. You're like, God has feelings? Yes. He can be hurt. He can have love. He can be joyful. He can be angry. He's angry with the wicked, the Bible says. So like you feel, God feels. He wants to walk with you. It's personal. When you cry because of heartache, did you know that God hurts with you? That's how personal he is. A walk with God is relating with God on a personal level. It's not just following the Bible as a kind of a routine. And I know some of it, by the way, routine is good. Some of us, we live and die by that routine. And if we didn't have our routine, then we would die. You know, and that's okay. I have routines. There's just certain things. My wife gets so mad at me because every morning I make the bed. Now, she doesn't get mad about that. I make the bed. But she gets mad because I leave stuff on the floor. She's like, you make the bed. It looks so nice and neat, but then your socks are on the floor over here. You know, so anyway, just that thing. That if the bed's not made, I'm just going out of my mind. You know what I mean? So I have to do that. And so we have certain routines that we do. And our Bible, our counsel, our decisions through the Scripture is part of that routine. But a walk with God is personal. Do you want that? That is necessary. Then you can, David, or whoever wrote this psalm, I think it was David, but the commentators are like, oh, we don't know. So I'm just going to say David wrote this. He wanted it too. Look at verse number 5. Ready? Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. That's an exclamation point at the end. You know what that means? That means that it could be shouted. It could be tears. It could be emotion. He's not just saying the words. He's feeling it when he's saying it. You want to have a walk with God? That's what it looks like. God, I want to have a walk with you. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. I deeply, I desperately want to have a walk with you, God. I don't want to do this my way. I don't want to keep going down the path that I just keep going down in my thoughts and my lust and my sins and my anxiety and my worry and my stress and all the stuff and anger and all the things that are just pulling me down and pulling me away and distracting me from you, God. I want to have a walk with you. And we sort of, you know, in our hearts, we cry out to the Lord and we ask Him and we want it, and then you can have it. And He wants you to have it because He wants to walk with you as much as you want to walk with Him or more. And so we need to address aspects of our walk. And these are not an exhaustive list, but they're right here in the passage we read, and I think they're pretty plain and clear. Number one, we're going to talk about a right walk. A right walk. If you want to note, you don't have to, but it's right here in verse number 9. A right walk. Look at it with me. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So to walk with God, you have to have a right walk. Getting your walk with God right means that you are admitting that you have sinned when you have sinned. It means that you're admitting that you have to be cleansed when you are defiled. You say, well, I don't need to do that. You do need to do that. And you need to do it routinely. You need to do it daily. You know what one of my favorite verses is? Probably, those of you who want this kind of walk, it's probably one of your favorite verses too. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins. Save people, not people who need to be saved. This is save people. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. On the spot, you sin at 5, you can be right with God by 5:01. There's no, you don't have to wait 3 hours. You don't have to do penance, do Hail Marys. You don't need any of that. You sin at 5, you can be right at 5:01 if you'll repent in your heart. He'll cleanse you. He's faithful and just. And that's what we're talking about here. He says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And so he talks about taking heed. The word heed here means to observe or to obey. And so let's understand something and then we'll explain what it means. Let's understand what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that you are working your way into forgiveness. So you get cleansed because you take heed or you work your way into forgiveness. It's not meaning that. So what does it mean then? It means to be cleansed, you have to take heed or align yourself with the Word of God. So if we want to get right with God, we have to change the way we're going. Our heart has to change. That's called repentance, isn't it? Taking heed means God is wanting us to go this way, and our thinking, our thoughts, our actions, you know, the sin that we committed, we went this way. God's wanting us to go this way. So taking heed according to the word, it means to admit that this isn't God's way, what you've done, the sin that we've done. And we're going to align ourselves with the Word. That's what taking heed there means. God, this isn't what you want me to do. I'm going to align myself with what I know you want me to do. Okay, remember the word we started off with? That I told you, if you want to have a walk with God, there's a word which is a characteristic that has to be in us if you're going to have that walk. It applies to everything we're going to talk about. Humility. To admit that this is wrong and this is right because this is what God says, you have to humble yourself to do that. That's why this is easy but hard at the same time. That's why it's hard. It's easy to get right with God because it's not complicated, but it's hard because we're not humble all the time. We're not as humble as we need to be. We struggle with having that pride in our heart. There was a man Brother Vaughn was telling me about in his church who had come out of a life of sin. And Brother Vaughn pastors in Sioux City, Iowa, and good friend. In fact, he's preached here a couple of times. He and I worked on staff together for about 8 years, 4 years, but we were together as friends for 8 years in St. Joe. Tremendous man of God, just a blessing. Encouragement. We tease each other, but sometimes when we need to be, we'll just embrace and we'll say, thank you for being faithful and being a good friend. We had that yesterday. And so what a great time. He was telling me about a man in his church who had come out of a life of drug addiction and sin that way. And he had children with different people in different situations. So you can kind of understand the dynamic. It was a tough deal. Got his heart right with God, wanted to live for God, and sitting in church, and his new wife was sitting next to him, and he had this long hair, you know, and Brother Vaughn's preaching along, and happens to be that in his notes, it talks about long hair, and so he preaches about it, and, you know, tries to be as graciously as he can in preaching about it, but, you know, whenever you're preaching the word, you say what God said, right? You don't change the message to not hurt people's feelings. You can try to be compassionate about it, which is important. Preach the word. Well, his wife started getting nervous, and she, in a negative sense, and she said, oh, great, now he's going to cut his hair. And so guess what? Sunday night, came back, hair cut. You know, not everybody responds to messages like that, do they? And that's what amazed me about that testimony, Brother Vaughn. And we were laughing and sort of having a, not laugh like ha-ha, but just sort of thinking about people who hear a sermon and then they just do it. That's not a common thing. What does it require? Absolutely requires humility. You have to be humble. If you hear something and it's clear that God is saying it, and you try to, you know, make it all about the man of God. Well, how dare he say that? Well, hang on a second. Who said it? Well, you said it. You're the pastor. Wait, hang on. Let's go a little bit more deep than that. Who said it? Well, God said it. Okay. Well, let's deal with that. Did God say it? Yeah. Well, what are you going to do with that? Because we're talking about the Word of God. Having a walk with God, you have to align yourself with the Word of God. If you're not willing to do that, then you cannot have a walk with God. Okay? You can have an outward exercise, but God's not walking with you. You're not doing what He says, you know? To do that, to align yourself with the Word, it requires us to humble ourselves. We have to be humble. Now, by the way, it doesn't mean that because a pastor doesn't say something, that God doesn't touch your heart about it. There was some, God touched my heart about something yesterday in a sermon, and then I told my wife, and she said, not that she disagreed, she agreed, but she says, why are you going to do that? Which sermon said, nobody even said that. God touched me about it. And none of the preachers even said anything about it, but God touched me, you see? So you don't even have to have a pastor tell you something's wrong and God touches you, you know? But the point is this, walking with God, number one, you have to align yourself with His Word. To do that, you have to humble yourself. No other way. Number two, I love this one. A consistent walk. The first one is a right walk. The second one is a consistent walk. I think that that's where we are today. Now, not that we don't struggle with the first one. And so there are very few of us that are humble all the time. So, are y'all, that was a joke. I don't think anybody's awake this morning. Mercy. Brother Eric got it. Thank you. Appreciate that. So we deal with number one, a right walk, humbling ourselves, coming to the altar. By the way, that's a picture of humility, isn't it? Why? Because we're getting on our knees. We're bowing before our King. Who's the King? God. You know. So we come, we get right with God, we kneel down, you know. Number two, but how about a consistent walk? Are you tired of having to come up here about the same stinking stuff? You know, that's what we're going to talk about here. Verse 10, a consistent walk. With my, say those next two words, whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments, my whole heart. We fall back into our sin so quickly, don't we, sometimes? Why? I sort of see it like this. We're on again and off again and on again and off again. And I think that it's so often like this because we come to let's say we're sitting here and our sin is with us, but God's pricking us about our sins, but our sin has this string attached to it, you know? And we leave our sin in the chair, but we have the string and we carry that up to the altar with us. And we kneel down and we say, Lord, and we got that string and we're knelt down and we're getting right with God because we're tired of this stinking sin in our life and we want to stop doing it, but we won't let go of the string. We just keep holding on to it. It's like we want to be in it, but we want to be with God too. We want that to be okay. Can't it just be okay that we do both? Can't we just do this stuff and then come to church on Sundays? Well, there are religions that are designed for people who think that way. Just do your penance, do your stuff, and then when you're out there, you just do whatever you want to do, and whenever you mess up and you wreck your life and all that, just come back and do some more penance and you'll be okay. You can live on both sides of the thing if that's true, but that's not what God says. You won't find that in the Bible. Not if you want to have a walk with God, that is. An intimate, close, genuine walk with Him that's personal. You have to go all in. You have to do your whole heart. If you will not give your whole heart to walking with God, then you will not have a consistent walk with God. Your walk with God will be reserved to those moments when you're at the altar submitting to Him in humility. Number one, it'll stop there. Because the string attached will take you back to your seat, and when you get home, you'll do it again. And then you won't be walking with God again. So you'll just have a walk with God in those moments when you surrender to Him in humility, while either at church or in your personal devotion, or while you're at work because you said a word and you're like, man, and you get right with the Lord, but we won't go all in with the Lord. And so we can't have that consistent walk. The everyday joy. Guys, aren't you tired of just having the joy of the Lord when we're at camp? You know? Yeah, I'm tired of that. Or when we have revival. Yeah, I'm tired of that. Revivals are so great. It's because of the pastor. It's not the pastor who's here. Although we do have the best, in my opinion, revivals in the whole world. But you can have a consistent walk with God where the joy of the Lord carries you through every day. How do you do it? You got to go all in. There's no other way. You have to go all in. You can't have one foot in the world, one foot out with God, and expect to have a consistent walk with God. By the way, only being partly in, guess what that means? You're partly out. And then which way pulls you? Well, which way pulls stronger? Which way does your heart want to go? That's the way that you'll go that day. But you don't want to get totally away from God, and then God pulls you, but you don't let go of the string. See? So we're on both sides, and whatever pulls stronger, that's the way we're going. You can't have a consistent walk if you do that. You can have a walk with God from time to time, but not a consistent one. So, to have a consistent walk, first of all, to have a walk with God at all, you have to align yourself with the Word of God and to humble and do that through humility. And then to have a consistent walk, you have to be holy and committed. Number three, and finally, for our study, that is a future walk. Future walk. How many of you would say, Pastor, I really do want to be here in 5 years? Amen. I do. Maybe we can say it this way rather than just saying like here, meaning in Falls City. Because I do want to be in Falls City in 5 year, 10 year, whatever. But more than that, how many of you say, Pastor, I want to have a close walk with God in 5 years? Amen. Or 10 years? What I don't want is what happens to so many. Fire for God. Fire, fire, fire. Like a firework for God. Just beautiful and just on fire for God. But in 5 years, gone. Gone. And I'm not just talking about like not here. They're not with God. You know. Well, that can happen to any of us. You want to have a future walk with God? Look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. And then I want you to see a word here. That I, what's that next word? Might not sin against thee. Do you know what that word might implies? That implies future. He's talking about the times you didn't sin yet, but I'm going to hide the word in my heart so that in the future, I might not sin. I want that. I want to have a walk with God today. I want to have a consistent walk so that I don't have the wishy-washy stuff, let go of the string, be all in. But I want to be here in 5 and 10 and 20 years. We at the pastor's retreat, I keep talking about it, but there's so many things, not retreat, but a conference. A statistic was given from, it was in given in conversation, and then it was in the pulpit, it was given in a sermon, and he said it wrong in the sermon, but the point was that pastors, the statistic is this. You can check it out yourself. It's out there. The numbers are there. He said 10 in his sermon, but really it's one of every 20 pastors. Of the 20 pastors who start off as a pastor, only one finishes as a pastor. So it's, 5%? 5% of pastors finish. It's kind of a small amount, isn't it? I started. I mean, I've been going for 10 years. I'm not finished yet.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I want to finish. Well, you know, Pastor Moore, other pastors quit, but you won't. Are you sure about that? I mean, maybe you feel sure about it. If I don't do this, my walk won't have a future. I won't have a future walk. I have to hide the word in my heart that I might not sin against him. You want to have a future walk? Then you have to hide his word in your heart. What is that? Memorize it. Oh, we're all in trouble now. Well, it can be that, but it doesn't just mean that. Hide. This is so good. You're really going to like this. The word hide, when you study out the word, it also means this, to cherish. Now, I can do that. You say, well, Pastor, I can't memorize it, but can you cherish it? Yeah. There are things that I have in my life that I cherish. There are relationships that I have in my life that I cherish. And basically, not basically, 100%, these are relationships that I cherish. Oh, there's a couple of you, you know. No. I cherish all of these relationships. There are things in my life that I cherish. I'm very sentimental about some things. I think all of us should be that way about some things, you know. It's not that something is quality, it's who gave it to you. It's not that something is useful, it's who gave it to you when they gave it to you. You're never going to get rid of it, you know. Like I have a picture, and now this is quality, but there's a picture in my office, and you can go in there and look at it. It's the one with the, you know, the campfire and the wagon, just the painted picture right by as you go into the bathroom in my office. Check it out when you get a second. My grandma painted that. It's very good. And by the way, be impressed. She learned how to paint from Bob Ross. That's for real. And so I'm going to paint some happy little trees. You know. Anyway, so that is sentimental to me. I'm going to have that for the rest of my life. And it's good. That's going to be passed down. Grandma made that. It says her name right on the bottom. Seymour. You know, how about the Word of God? Do we cherish it? Can we take it or leave it? Do we read it every day? Is it important though? Do we do it because we have to, or do we cherish it? Do you want to have a future walk? You need to start learning how to cherish the Word. Like, make it a priority, fall in love with it. Have a sentimental feeling towards the Word of God every day. Oh man, all this stuff happening, but there's one thing that can't be neglected because I cherish it. That'll affect your future walk. It'll give you a future walk. So we can walk with God if we'll get our hearts right. It requires humility. We can walk with God in a consistent way, but we have to be wholly in. Completely all in. If you want a consistent walk, you have to be all in. Can't be both sides. Future walk. Cherish the Word day in, day out. I'm going to finish with this. Sometimes we listen, but we're not wholly committed. There was one pastor I talked to at the pastor's conference who said this, and it was so eye-opening to me. I'd never heard this before, actually. And I think that he had said that he read it in a book, and the author was talking about this concept. And that is big churches versus little ones. Obviously, we have a little church. But one of the concepts or principles that he said about the danger of a big church, now there's blessing. Big church means a lot of people, right? And that's good. That's what we want to reach, a lot of people. But there's a danger more in a big church than in a little one. And that is this, that you don't have to be all in at a big church. Because you can truly just show up, get ministered to, and go home, and nobody expects you to do anything. You're not going to get away with that at a small church. If you're not doing something in a small church, you're going to hear about it from time to time. Why? Because we need people to do stuff, you know? People who don't want to do stuff, they're not comfortable in small churches because there's too much pressure there. That was eye-opening to me. I feel like, you know what I feel like? I feel like I like a small church better just because that's what we are. Not that I want it to stay small, don't take me wrong. I want God to do what He's going to do here, and He is. But if you want to have a consistent walk with God, you need to be all in. You need it. And so let's make that commitment today. Let's get right if we need to. Let's get all in if we need to. Let's cherish the Word and make it a priority. And with that, God's Word will become a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We'll have a walk with Him, and it'll be intimate. I want that for you. Father, I pray Your blessings as we dismiss our class. I pray You'd go before us and help us to have a focused and committed heart in the area of a walk, to understand what it means and what is necessary, that we would find in our hearts and in our lives the most important thing that we can do when we make decisions is to align ourselves with the Word of God. Would You work in our hearts about that? Would You help us to make a decision that we'll go to Your Word before we do things? God, would You help us to be all in, to let go of the streams of the world or the things of this life that You're begging us and compelling us to let go of? Would You help us to go all in for You? And then, Lord, would You help us to have a passion and a love for the Scriptures, for the Word of God? Would You help us to love it more than we love TV and video games and sports and all the other stuff that maybe is entertaining and fun and not even bad, really, but just distracting from cherishing that and not cherishing the Word? Would You help us to have a love and a passion for the Word that'll guide us in the future walk? Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for the fact that we can in You have a relationship with God. Without You, we are nothing. We have nothing. We're lost. So thank You for our salvation. Pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed. Now we're a little early.